First Samuel chapter 3 is the chapter I'm going to be in today. And this is, in my Bible, simply says a call from the Lord. And Samuel is going to have a very unique experience. He's a very young man. And it's going to be interesting what is said to him by the Lord. I'll take this in pieces here, so I'll read a few verses. And let me begin, though, first with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, I thank you for the time together today. And I pray that you'll bless these moments in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And Father in heaven, I have been impressed over the years by this man. Thank you for his life and the example that he has been to so many of us. Bless these moments together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin and I read verse 1, read a number of verses, and stop, make some comments about them. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called, Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for you did call me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. I think it's I've always been impressed with Samuel. I was so impressed that I wanted one of our sons to be named Samuel. Our first son was Stephen Philip. And named after the men in the Bible and a good friend of mine. And then our next son was going to be Samuel. So we had Stacia, a daughter. So then it was going to be Samuel. So we had Suzanne, a daughter. So the next one would definitely be Samuel. So it was Sherry. The next one would be Samuel. And it was Sonia. And the last child would be Samuel, and it was Sarah. So when our son and Krissa had their first child, his name was Samuel Albert. Unfortunately for the family, in some ways, Samuel was born with problems, was never able to do anything for himself, lived just a few days past his 9th birthday. Something had happened in the womb before he was born. He went several minutes without breathing, and he had to spend the first few weeks of his life at the Children's Hospital in Chicago. And Samuel could never even hug you or say hello or say mommy or daddy all the years of his life. I did enjoy, though, his eyes were healthy, but his brain did not tell him he could see. So Samuel couldn't do anything for himself, not one thing. He liked music, and he liked noise, and he liked ball games. We used to take Samuel to the Chicagoland Speedway on one of the days when the cars were there racing, And it was kind of neat because we got all kinds of free things. You will this poor little fellow there in that wheelchair, and everyone sees them, and all the vendors gave special gifts to him, which I enjoyed. And so Samuel got us some nice places to be. We had a Christian school, and a few times I was able to announce the ball game to him. He couldn't see it, but he could hear the noise, the officials. The first time we did it, and we lived on the site of the church and school, and my wife and Krista decided to go to the house at halftime of our varsity game, and they took Samuel with them. And when I arrived home, they said Samuel didn't like coming home during that time because as soon as he got into the house and it was quiet, he began to let them know by his yelling that he did not appreciate having to leave the game. It was a blessing for me to talk to him for those years. My wife cared for him, and of course, Steve and Krista. They've had all boys since as well. Matter of fact, they had a boy named Drew and a boy named Josiah, and then Samuel went to be with the Lord right after his ninth birthday. Shortly thereafter, Krista became pregnant and had twins. And she said, you know, I was so used to all the work I had to do with Samuel that it was like I picked up from where I left off. And so twins, which can be a real burden to many, was just part of her routine because of all the work she had to do with Samuel during those days. My son knew that I liked the name Samuel, but it was because of this Samuel here in the Bible. You don't see this Samuel slipping up in life. You see him as a very godly man. And a man who truly loved the Lord and loved God's people. Tells us in verse 1 that as a little boy he ministered before the Lord. Even though he didn't have that relationship with God yet, he was already being trained to serve God. Remember the background of Samuel? His mother wanted a child, a son. And she promised that if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him to you all the years of his life. Over the years of pastoring, I've had parents come and wanting to dedicate their children right at the front of the church, and I would try to impress upon them the importance of what they were doing, to train their child in the Word of God, and that entails so much of a relationship. It isn't just the Bible and quoting the Bible, although that's an important part, and talking about the Lord and His Word. But it's every aspect of your life as a parent. When you become a parent, you totally surrender yourself to the upbringing of that child. And the greatest days of our lives, I'm sure my wife would agree, were those child-rearing days when we had the opportunity. I'd hear parents or grandparents say, if I'd known how good they were, I would have had them first. And my mother jokingly said that to me once, and I said, you know, I love our grandchildren very much. 24 of them we have. And I said, I love them very much, but I would never, I'm glad for the children we had. People would tease us about our six kids, like Pastor Bill's got six kids, he and Dina. And I'd look around and I'd say, I don't know which one of our children I'd want to go without. I love them all so very much. And if I could, we would all live in a Baker community. But they don't because they're in the ministry. And I thank God for that as well. Samuel was being trained. He had been prepped by his mother, and it was just almost, it was in his DNA just to live for God. So here he is, a little boy, time to go to sleep. He has his own little quarters, and God comes and three times calls him Samuel. And of course, didn't yet know the Lord, the word of the Lord wasn't revealed to him yet. He didn't understand this kind of thing, which of course probably most people actually would not have. And so each time he gets up out of bed and he goes to this man, Eli, who was really his mentor, was training him. Now, I want to keep that in your mind for just a moment, if you would, please. Because Eli had a big impression he made on Samuel. But each time he goes to this man, Eli, and says, here I am, you called me. And he said, no, I didn't. Go lie down again. So he did, and God came and called him again, Samuel, and he got up and said, here I am. You did call me. And Eli said, no, son, I did not call you. Lie down. Again, God did the same thing, and Samuel got up and said, here I am. You did call me. And now Eli's beginning to get the message that somebody else was involved with this. And so he perceived that God had called Samuel. And he said, I want you to do something. I want you to go back to bed. And when he comes and calls you again, or if he does, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I think it's interesting that Eli could already tell that Samuel would be a servant of the Lord God. Even as a young boy, even though he didn't yet have that personal relationship with the Lord God, he knew there was a heart for him. Think about yourself for a moment, please. You're all born again, right? Why are you saved? What was there about you that gave you a soft heart for the Lord God? Can you think about that? Can anyone share that with us? What was there about your life that helped prepare you to receive Jesus Christ as Savior? Who can tell? I can tell you, but I want you to tell me. What was there about your life? Because there's something about us that just preps us for when the time comes that we respond to the message of his love for us. Anybody? I want you to think a moment, because you can think about this. The day I was saved was one of the most important and precious days of my life. I've taken my wife by that place several times where I knelt on my knees in the backyard of our house over by Burlamont, Michigan, and my younger 9-year-old cousin led me to Christ. And I got up off my knees a different person. But there was something in my life as a little boy, because I didn't come from a Christian home. Matter of fact, my dad didn't like preachers even. It was that bad. There was no spirituality in our home whatsoever. But something about what God had done in my life as a little boy made me receptive, and I'm sure it's that way with you too. Eli seemed to understand that Samuel would be receptive to the word of God. I shared a testimony with a lady once when I was an assistant pastor over at Faith Baptist Church in Mattawan, and about the circumstances for when I became a Christian. I was a man in my mid-20s. And she said, that's the very reason I don't want to get saved, what you just told me. I thought, what? She said, everybody that I know who's become a born-again Christian has had some terrible thing happen in their lives. And I've not had anything bad happen, so I don't want anything to do with this. I thought, well, if you get saved now, you won't have to have anything happen before you get saved. But she didn't think of it that way. But boy, the Lord was so good when he had given me a soft heart. Samuel had a soft heart. And so he did what Eli told him. He was being prepped for this moment in his life that was going to be the genesis for his great ministry. So he said, go, and if the Lord comes and calls you, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So let's go to verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I would do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I would judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now get the picture here. He's a young boy. He is serving Eli. And by that he was serving the Lord. Remember, that's what Christ said. You know the story when he separates the sheep from the goats? And the sheep he'll say, come into the joy of thy Lord, for I was naked and you clothed me, I was hungry, you fed me, I was sick and in prison and you helped me, you visited me. And we will respond and say, when did we see you like this? And he said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You do serve God when you serve other people. You do serve God when you care for other folks. That's one of the major aspects of serving our Lord. That's a neat thing. People often think, well, the only way I can serve is if I'm a teacher, or I sing, or I have this gift or that gift. When you serve and help other people, you're serving the Lord. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the one of the least of these, you've done it to me. What a joy it is to be able to serve him. And Eli had already been serving, Samuel had already been serving Eli. And so God comes when Eli says, or Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And he says to Samuel that when people hear of what I'm going to do, their ears are going to tingle. It's going to be such a strange thing. It's going to shock them. They're going to be knocked for a loop, you might say, when they hear what's going to happen to Eli and to his sons. And he says, I'm going to do this for sure. Now, God had already given a prophecy to Eli what he was going to do. Because he said, why do you honor your sons above me? We went over that last time I shared this lesson. Why do you honor your sons above me? And I spent quite a bit of time on that, actually. I've heard parents over my many years of ministry say, I just love my child too much to spank him. Well, you're going to come to hate some things they do maybe someday if you don't have a proper way of disciplining them and chastening them and helping them to understand some things about life. You don't do those things because you hate the child. You do them because you love the child. You don't want the child to get into trouble. I heard the story of a missionary when I was in college. I've never forgotten this. It's a missionary over in a field where there were some very dangerous and poisonous snakes. And he had trained his children to obey on command because he knew that if they did not, they could be in trouble. And his son, a young boy, was under a tree. And the dad said to the son, son, stop moving. And the son immediately stopped because he learned to obey on command. He said, son, I want you to very slowly go down to the ground on all fours, very slowly. And the son did. And then he said, son, I want you very slowly to move toward me now on all fours. And just when he had told his son to stop, that close to his head was a snake ready to destroy his son that was hanging from that tree. But because he had taught his son to obey on command, his son's life was saved. And you go through Scripture, and you see how important it is for children to learn to obey the Word of God. But that starts in the home, in obeying mom and dad. You know, especially when you're young, often when you think about the face of God, you'll think of a parent. You'll think of someone who's had a great deal of influence in your life. And Samuel was going to learn something of the importance of doing it right with your children. It's not that Hophni and Phinehas had to be perfect or maybe even godly, but the problem is God would tell Samuel, he didn't stop them from their wicked living in the ministry of the Lord. They didn't care. They had no heart of repentance. And that was destroying the work and cause of our God. And God said, I'm not going to let this happen forever. And so he said, I'll make an end in one day. He says in verse 14 again, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now get this, friends. And the point is, here's young Samuel, a young boy ministering, not yet knowing God in this personal way, but he was soon to meet the Lord in a personal way, as we'll see here in Scripture. And God is sharing something with him, a young boy, not a man, not a man who's been prepped in the priesthood, but a young boy who was busy making sure the lights were turned out at night, that the place was shut up, and the menial tasks of the service. And yet God came and told this incredible news to this young boy. Remember, the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. Do you know what that means? He's no more impressed with me than he is you. He's no more impressed with the man that could pastor the largest church than he is with me. Years ago, when my in-laws were serving God down in Fort Lauderdale, my father-in-law got saved when he was a young boy at camp in France. He grew up in France. He came to the States at age 18 and went to Northwestern Bible College in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where W.B. Riley had been the president. He didn't know any English, so he took his tape recorder with him to class, and he began to learn, and that's where he met my wife's mother there at Northwestern. And he surrendered to God, and the Lord called him under Baptist Mid-Missions to the mission field. And their first experience of that was to go back to France. My wife was a little girl. She didn't know French at the time. They put her and her sister Patty into a girls' French-speaking school where they all spoke French, and she had to learn the language, and she did very well. So much so that when she was a freshman at Maranatha, she taught second and third year French as a freshman in school, 18-year-old girl, because she knew the language better than the French teachers did. They wouldn't let her take the course for credit, so they gave her what we called comprehensive, something we all had to take our senior year to see if we really did learn anything. And I think she told me she studied about 10 minutes and got a 94% or higher on the French comprehensive. So she got credit for that because they wouldn't let her take the class. And yet we thought it'd be nice to have credit for something you really know and you're teaching. But anyway, they spent 8 years in France. Then they spent some time. Of course, there's deputation in between some of these. They were in Quebec, Canada. And that's where her in-laws were when I met her when she was a freshman. And then they went to Winnipeg, Manitoba for a while, and then down to Fort Lauderdale to work with the Haitian refugees. And it was interesting because my father-in-law worked with the Haitian refugees, and the other pastor, who was the main missionary there, worked with the black congregation. I asked him one time, why don't you put both together, because they can speak English. Not all of them could, actually, but he said, well, because the blacks won't mingle with the Haitians. They're above them as far as they're concerned. So they had to have two separate churches within that one church. And my father-in-law served there. But the main minister asked me to preach one day. Now, at that time, I was pastoring a church in Terre Haute, Indiana, and we were doing very well. And this church in Fort Lauderdale was numerically a lot smaller, a lot smaller. And here I am. I'm on the radio daily. I have a radio broadcast on Sunday. I end up having two broadcasts on Sunday. I'd become president of what today is called Advance America there in the state. Worked with some pretty highfalutin people, knew the governor, knew Dan Quayle, spent time with him, interviewed him for my radio broadcast. I was an officer in the state, both in our fellowship and also in the school area, plus I was involved in the athletic, state athletic area. I wrote resolutions for the city of Terre Haute on the week of the Bible and things like this. The mayor and I were personal friends. He'd ride with me on our float in our homecoming parade. And I was quite well known, actually. And so it was kind of an enjoyable experience in many ways. So I'm sitting in this church building, ready to preach at this very small numbered congregation. And it was very easy for me to say to myself, Bert, God doesn't love you or respect you any more than he does this man who's asked you to come preach. As a matter of fact, Bert, this little congregation is as important to me as anything you do. I knew that already. But for me, it was a wonderful thing to think about that. God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who we are. With the Lord God, there are no big shots. The Bible says God does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. He's not impressed with us. And so, when Samuel's a little tyke. God tells him something that you would think he would only share in confidence, perhaps, with a grown-up. I learned very quickly when we were raising children, God didn't love me and had no more respect for me than he did my son. And my son today is a pastor, pastoring a church larger than I ever pastored. A friend of mine said, Bert, he's passed you by. I wouldn't hit my friend for saying that, but I'm glad, really. I love my son. And sons-in-laws who are also pastoring, and then one who's a Christian school principal. But God didn't have any more respect for me than he did any of our children. And I knew that. And so even as a little tyke, we would tell them how much God loves them. We'd quote John 3:16 to them, and we wanted them to know this because God has a plan for their lives. Think about that with our young people around here, too. He is as involved in his heart for them as he is you and me. He told Samuel an incredible thing. Let me read the rest of the chapter for you now. Verse 15. Now imagine how you'd be as a little person if you heard this. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Wouldn't you fear that too? Eli was his boss. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do soul to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Now, that's a real comfort, isn't it? He feared to tell him, and now he's saying, I'm going to get you. You're going to be in trouble, young man, if you don't tell me everything God said. No wonder he feared to tell him. Eli may have had a temper. He probably had dealt with everybody except for his sons. And Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And then Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Now, I appreciate that from Eli, of course, but he knew he couldn't change it. And then you have this part. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Meaning God's words. He let none of them fall to the ground. Remember, God said about his word, my word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereunto I send it. The word of God is alive and powerful, and Samuel came to realize that. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Now, here's an important point for this lesson here this morning. We would seem to be, in our area, a small congregation. But you are not small. Because as a born-again believer, you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And that means you have influence with people. Not everyone our Redeemer came across became a believer. But many did. And you and I have the same spirit. When you read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, it's a passage Billy Sunday turned to every time before he began to preach. And so I've made that a part of my life for many years now. But it's really our Redeemer who's it's speaking about, because when he first began his ministry, he opened the book in the synagogue and began to quote or read Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. He said at the end of reading that passage, this day, this prophecy is fulfilled in front of you, saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon Jesus Christ to proclaim. And as believers, not only does he come on us to proclaim, as he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But you also have him inside you. You are where he lives. So you and I have enormous power and influence if we use the Word of God. It's all here. This is it. This is the difference maker. And in this passage of Scripture, everything that had a significance was the Word of God. When God called Samuel, when God told Samuel what he was going to do, and then later when God revealed himself again, and it became apparent to the people around that Samuel was different, and that he was chosen by God to be different, and this called him a prophet. But my friends, I will tell you this. If we allow the Spirit of God to guide our lives, it will become apparent to the people around you that there's something special about you. May God help us to learn from people like Samuel. The Word of God was something he obeyed. He took it to heart, and it made a difference in his effective life. And that's the neat thing. That's one of the big reasons I like Samuel, because he allowed the Word of God to have the leadership. He didn't let any of God's words fall to the ground. They made the difference. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your holy scriptures that live and abide forever, and for the example of Samuel. I pray that each of us will have that understanding that you can do that in our lives as well. In some special way that you have ordained for us, that you can use us to make a difference in the lives of people. If we let your words be in our hearts, lead us, I pray, and bless our service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.